This week on Timey-Wimey TV, Liz and Rudy get super psyched over dinosaurs on a spaceship. Hey there, Internet. How are you? I'm good, thanks. It's Liz Shannon Miller at Lizlet on the Twitters.
And I'm Rudy Jashan at Rudy on Twitters. You're listening to Timey-Wimey TV, our weekly podcast for now.
Weekly.
On shows, news, everything to do with time travel, but more particularly of the silly man with the bow tie.
In a box.
In a box.
In a box.
In a box.
And this episode, we're just gonna be all Doctor Who all the time today, I think.
Is a Doctor Who spectacular?
Yes. I mean, by spectacular, I mean we're gonna talk about one thing. But we're gonna talk about it in depth, starting with your comments, because we'd forgotten, because it's been quite some time since we had fresh new Doctor Who to discuss, that, you know, this podcast was founded on the principles of discussing Doctor Who. And the return of Doctor Who has meant the return of real discussion, which is really exciting.
Yes, thank you everyone who actually put comments in there. And actually really long ones, and we really appreciate having them. So keep them coming.
We have comments all across the spectrum of the internets. We'll start with Twitter, where our friend Frank our new friend Frank Carver, brand new friend.
Right out of the box.
Yes. He enjoyed the Asylum podcast and mentions that maybe Oswin was just a copy in a Dalek body. Maybe the real one had already escaped. That scared the Daleks. By the way, spoilers for Asylum the Daleks. We should probably mention that right now.
But you're not watching it the moment it comes out. I have no sympathy for you.
Yes, we are working hard. We are doing our jobs. Why aren't you guys?
I think the moratorium for spoilers is a week, isn't it?
I think in the grand scheme of things, yeah.
It's any time before and a week after it comes out.
Right, that's fair. I like that rule. Frank Carver also mentions asks us why we aren't covering Continuum. Which is a Canadian show that I think recently just got picked up by Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
It's like the cop who comes from the future who time travels to the past to try to catch, like,
I think to prevent a major terrorist attack.
Yeah. I have not seen it yet, but I like Rachel Nichols and I do want to check it out. So look for that in the future.
Yeah.
As we either find it legally or illegally, whichever floats your boat.
Well, I'm Canadian. Technically, it's owed to me.
What do you got on your end?
For my end, I actually got a comment by an old friend of mine, Jason Howell. He actually has appeared on Galacticast, the sci-fi show I did back in the day.
Lovely.
Lovely actor. And he also played the Doctor in one of our Doctor Who sketches. actually, it was a sketch called Doctor Who, but the Doctor spelled D-R, and it was a take on Doctor Who as Dr. Phil. And he's most famous for having many. I wrote a bunch of like wibbly wobbly timey wimey gobbledygook that he actually managed to regurgitate in one saying.
Well, that's an impressive feat.
It is an impressive feat. So I'm gonna read through his long comment, and we'll address each of his points one at a time.
Sure.
So he goes, "Hey, is it possible that the Doctor just picks up Oswin in the past before her crashing on the Silent Planet? It's very timey wimey Moffat thing to do. Would need some memory explaining, like why she doesn't remember him, but possible." And I think that's one thing people have been talking about, like the previous.
But the character has like a completely different name.
She has the name Oswin in there.
Well, she has the same last name, but the first name's different, though. Isn't
it? But it's never clear whether it's people's first names can be really strange. They can be.
I'm gonna make that noise again.
Now we know how Liz feels when she dismisses things.
That's I don't mean to be dismissive. I do think there's definitely potential for that, but I'm leaning towards more of a Freema situation than a, you know, timey-wimey situation. I'll go ahead and bet you something or another that.
Well, let's figure out, let's take up the bet here.
Yeah.
Because you suggested a bet last time, but never came up with what the terms of said bet are.
Okay.
Let's save it for the end of the podcast.
Yeah, save it for the end of the
podcast. You gotta stay tuned, people, to hear what crazy bet. But last time we had a bet, it ended up with one of us writing erotic fiction starring ourselves, and the cast of Torchwood.
If that person might have been Rudy, because Rudy was wrong and Liz was right, I just want to point that out.
You know what? I don't see how anyone could be right with giant earth vagina, but whatever. We're going to...
Because somebody was right about saying that it was going to be something based on the earth, and then it was literally the earth's giant vagina.
Did you... Let me just put this out to you. Did you even imagine it was going to be a giant earth vagina?
I mean, no one could predict a giant earth vagina. I'm just saying it wasn't aliens.
I think that's my best comment ever on the show. No one can predict giant earth vagina.
Yes. Spoilers for Torchwood Miracle Day, everybody. It's been a year. You have time.
Yeah, exactly. You'd By have our time. Rule, it's more than a week.
By our rule, it's more than a week. So, but anyways, I don't mean to be dismissive. I just...
I'm, so let's revisit that.
We'll come back to that.
Point B by Jason. You're absolutely right about Amy. She's useless in comparison to other companions. I haven't been able to take her since her first season, which is, I think, a bit strong.
Mm-hmm.
The companion is supposed to be the audience's way of understanding the Doctor, how we need a companion that we can relate to. I can relate to Rose because it is all new to her, and she feels her life needs meaning, like all of us. Martha is a strong woman, a doctor even, but falls in love with the wrong man. Relatable. Donna is also stuck in her life, but is already an adult, and has a strong moral compass, which the Doctor really needs that season.
Right.
For her first season, Amy's caught up in the make-believe fantasy, and we all wish we could do that too. But after that, she gets married and essentially grows up. Her need to be with a Doctor just doesn't feel essential.
Mm-hmm.
Her raison d'etre as a companion expired after her first season. And since then, it feels like a stretch for her and Rory to be there. In fact, all the other companions make the Doctor better. But since the end of season 6, Amy and Rory are just there. We need a companion the Doctor can learn from and feed off of. And I kind of agree. I mean, you know, that he wasn't, unless he meant like he wasn't into her ever after the first season of her being there. I kind of agree with his point. The problem is that we're going to talk about this in this week's mm-hmm. episode is that, you know, why is she still a companion?
I mean, and I think there's one point to be made here, which is that she is not, you know, in the traditional technical Doctor Who sense, really a companion anymore. And in fact, this entire season, it's like they are no longer living on board the TARDIS and traveling with the Doctor.
Right.
The Doctor just kind of picks them up every once in a while. It's more like, it's not like they're in a committed relationship. It's more like the Doctor is their F buddy.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is sometimes they're thrust together. Thrust together by Daleks. You know, there's a very S&M 50 Shades of Grey thing going on here.
Yeah, and aside from that, I feel like what your friend Jason says is basically a very concise version of what we've been ranting about for the last several episodes mm-hmm. of Doctor Who, which is simply, you know, and I think there, I was just thinking right now about how, like, maybe the problem is that companion stories don't last more than one season. And, I mean, and then I was like, but, you know, Rose lasted for 2 seasons. But, oh, but Rose had, like, there was the whole regeneration element that we had to deal with. Like,
yeah, the dynamic changed because there was a new Doctor.
Right. And even then, like, but even then, that had a very clear, like, end date.
Right.
And it had a very clear arc to it. So I don't know. I'm still figuring that out. But I feel like that was very well said of your friend.
Cool. 2 more points.
Oh, my goodness.
This one is interesting. The creative team of Doctor Who are too afraid of carnage. Remember in the relaunch, people were dying left and right and center. Everything is so tame now. In The Doctor Dances, Eccleston is overjoyed that for once everyone lives because up to that point, it was a bloodbath.
Yeah.
All this to say that if you want to make the Daleks scary and dangerous again, they need to kill people. People close to the Doctor and just can fodder as well. I love Moffat, but his tenure is way too PG, and which is funny because people have been criticizing Moffat, and we'll probably have more news about that later in this episode. but you know, when he pointed out, I was like, oh yeah, you know, you're right. There's not enough people dying. That was always the dark part of Doctor Who.
I feel like the complaining about not enough people dying on a television show is like, it's a weird argument. But I feel like, you know, I think the important thing is that when people used to die on Doctor Who, it had meaning. Like, it really, you know, you felt it. And sometimes you don't really with, like, I mean, technically, all of those humans that got converted into Daleks were dead. Even, like, and Oswin freaking dies at the end of that episode.
Right.
But the Dalek people, you didn't really feel sad for. And Oswin, I did, but also I know, you know, she's back in a couple of episodes or in some form or another. So,
well, there's, I mean, like, his point, though, is larger than just this past episode. Mm-hmm. There's that in general, there seems to be a lack of.
Yeah, there does seem to be some shyness about killing, really killing people.
Which I think was, I mean, like, that's the one thing I thought worked really well with the Davies years.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, yes, in some ways, his science and his puzzle boxes were much looser.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you always felt like, oh my god, this person, like, you know, the reason Tennant's doctor goes around going, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, it's like, the realization he is too late a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, that, and Eccleston's darkness is the fact that, you know, this is what happens. People are dying around him, and he seems to be bringing that to people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do agree with the point. Like, we shouldn't be, like, rooting for, like, this a show ain't serious until there's dead bodies everywhere.
But at the same time, it is part of the show's makeup that, you know, with the magical adventure of traveling through space and time comes the very sad and real truth that people freaking die a lot.
Yeah.
And that is... in general, the stakes feel a little less as a result with the Moffat era.
Right. And now the final point.
Mm-hmm.
As we near the 50th anniversary of the show, maybe we can actually remember stuff from the past. I mean, I know Moffat wants to get a new audience, but it seems to be to really be at the expense of hardcore fan base. And a lot of that has to do with my last point. The series has lost its teeth. There is no real sense of danger. We need a whole series where shit goes bad, like, have three different companions because they keep dying? I don't care. Do something. I'll think of more stuff, but I think the show needs to focus less on being spectacular, i.e. dinosaurs on a spaceship, and more on really real consequences for the characters. That will start by getting a companion who isn't totally self-absorbed and uninspiring. And he has one other point he messaged me a bit later, but we can talk about it.
Okay. I think, you know, in some sense, you're on the right track there, I think. The major issue is, I mean, but I think also that may or may not get really addressed in episode 5. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Or
next batch of episodes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's a certain amount of, I have a certain amount of wait and see in me yet for this season. It's the way I start every season. I'm always like, who knows what could happen? Everything could work out just fine. And then I'm tragically wrong. But gosh darn it, I'm right. I'm with you for the moment. So,
and the only other thing he points out, I think a number of people have mentioned this, is the new title sequences.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really touch on that on the
episode, no.
Which is the fact that someone's applying, as Jason said, an Instagram filter to the whole thing. And the other interesting aspect is, the titles themselves. They actually put the titles of both the show mm-hmm. and the episode textured with, like, something that's relevant to that
episode.
Yeah,
no, I only caught that this week because my roommates pointed it out, and, I love the, I actually really like that. It made me happy.
I think it's cool. I'm more kind of scratching my head on the whole, let's filter up the beginning sequence.
Yeah. At this point, though, I've gotten kind of numb to changing the credit sequence. Like, analyzing that, like, I don't know.
I had an issue with it because of one critical element for it, which is that it... The whole idea behind that time stream, at least, is that it goes from blue to red. And
yeah.
Because one indicates the past, the other is the future.
Right.
I think some form of redshifting that mm-hmm. it's trying to indicate. And that kind of goes slightly out the window with the latest version of it, because it starts off in more of a purple mush.
That's true, and it is kind of disappointing. But
yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. Let's see. We got a lovely email from a very nice reader, a very nice listener named Andrew, who's somewhere in Alberta, Canada. Hi, Andrew. Thank you very much.
Canadians representing this week.
Yeah, a lot of Canadians. What's wrong with you people?
Tamiami TV, big in Canada.
Yeah, it is. And I will skip the very lovely things he says about us, because those are just for us. But he did have a series of questions that I feel like we can address right now. So first off, which doctor are we now seeing? 900 years old or 110 years... sorry, 1,100 years old. 1,100 years old. That's the number. 1,100 years old. It was the 1,100 doctor that married River at the end of last season. Are we just to forget about those 200 years traveling without the ponds? Yep, I guess.
That's a good question.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
But...
I actually have something that's popped in my head recently,
mm-hmm.
which is, are we actually watching I feel like there's something weird about the sequence of things that we're watching now, that it's a bit unclear of what which doctor are we watching at this point.
Well, and yeah, and I think they're being very deliberate about, like, keeping it vague as to when he's you know, it's like keeping it erratic as to when he's popping in and out of the pawns' lives.
Right.
And yeah, it's all deliberately confusing at this point, which makes me wonder if it's deliberate or it's just kind of the way they're doing the show now.
I think it's deliberate, and I think there's something that this week, when we get to the episode, there's a scene that both you and I sort of picked up on, that something's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But we'll see. And okay, so I do think it's 1100 years old.
Yeah, I think he mentioned that he was, when he was like 900 something when he was, when he finished off with the one season, and that was the whole thing. Like 200 years, what you've been up to? He's actually been running around history doing stuff for 200 years.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see if that becomes a thing, but, my guess is that's just canon now that he's 110 years old.
Yeah.
Or, jeez, I can't talk today. 1,100 years old.
1,100 years old. 110. That's not so impressive.
Not so impressive. He's like a teenager. At the end of last season, the Doctor died. For all intents and purposes, the universe is believed the Silence was successful in killing him. Only River, Amy, and Rory were to know he was still alive. So how were the Daleks able to contact him? Didn't they know he's dead? Excellent question!
Yeah, that being, especially this recent episode, too.
Yep. Guess what? They really, you remember, I think last year when we talked about, like, the whole, oh, the Doctor's supposed to be pretending to be dead thing, we were like, is that really going to stick? And does not seem like it.
Right.
It seems like, I mean, and it kind of reminds me of just, like, the hand waving they used to do at the beginning of every episode of Angel in the fifth season, where it's like, just reminding us of the premise of the show and, like, and then, oh, but let's just focus on this other thing.
Yeah.
That was a very confusing sentence if you didn't watch the fifth season of Angel. I apologize
Which
for that.
Which I thought was amazing. It's one of my favorite seasons of television ever.
You know, everyone says that.
You don't concur?
I like the fourth season a lot.
Oh, I think the fourth season is great. I think the fifth season is amazing because it's so not what you expect from a supernatural vampire show. It's a lawyer supernatural vampire show.
I mean, I think my problem with the fifth season was really honestly that hand-waving, like, at the beginning of every episode. Like, that just kind of threw me off. It does, however, have the puppet episode, which is one of the finest episodes of television ever created, so I won't complain about the fifth season of Angel anymore. Instead, I will go on to question number three, where you mentioned on your podcast about the idiocy of the Doctor saving the Daleks. Why would he save them? Why would he save them? I believe this is an editing and or writing mistake. Here's how I would have written it. The Daleks kidnap Amy and Rory, same as the show, put the wristbands on them and send them to the planet, kidnap the Doctor, same as show, tell them that Amy and Rory's wristbands will run out of power in 24 hours, send the Doctor down. Quicker, cleaner, it makes a lot more sense as to why he would willingly help them.
That's right.
And I think that's a really smart observation about how, you know, the show makes a lot more sense when you have stakes.
Yeah.
As opposed to just hand-waving.
Right.
And last but, no, not last but not least, the baby issue. Okay, Amy can't have children, that's horrible, and the reason for her giving Rory his freedom, give me a break. And all those people, the doctor handed a vial that he just happened to have handy that cured her incurable disease. If he had known about, Amy's condition, I'm sure he would have had a suitable fix for that as well. Just like I said on the podcast. Yeah. I just want to read out loud how people agree with me.
Hey, you know, and this is, again, tied to this episode, the doctor's actually being a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
A couple times, which is weird.
Yeah, you don't usually actually see him do that.
Yeah.
But, and also Rory stepping up and doing some nursing, but mm-hmm. We'll get to that. Last but not least, the Doctor has no idea who Oswin is. He did not see her, only heard her voice. We, the audience, will recognize her Christmas, but he won't. Which is a very good point. But will that actually matter is a thing to be determined yet in the bet. The bet to come.
The bet to be.
We also have comments from the Google Plus, where we've been trying to be a little better about posting. Ger Arg, our all-time friend, said, a little meh, I'm afraid, in regards to last week's episode, the Daleks aren't my favorite monster. Jeff Ewell, I believe our good friend Danger Shoes, as he is known here, commented, is it wrong of me to find Daleks very attractive now? Well, maybe just one of them, which made me laugh. Peter Billing enjoyed it. It was clearly an opening gambit, sending things up. Be interesting to see how Oswin gets to be his human companion from here. It only added my fervent wish for Amy to be the next Doctor, though. Her Geronimo line was the best in the episode. She would kill as a Doctor, plus she'd finally get to be a Ginger.
Mm.
And, yeah, that would be nice. I feel like the point of whether or not there could be a female Doctor is getting more and more bandied about these days, and it was, like, maybe a couple months ago.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And, yeah, it's, and I think that's part, it's weird because Moffat mentioned last week or so, like, oh, yeah, you know, totally the Doctor can become a female.
Mm-hmm.
And at the other side of it, they also mentioned, like, he's also the one that I think they had a conference, it's like, how many people would actually watch a female Doctor Who? And then not many people raised their hands.
But that was older. That was an older time.
Yeah. Well, but by a year or two, that was not that old.
Yeah, but still, a year or two is not that old, but in a lifetime of a television show like this, it can mean a lot.
It could be. It's like one-fifth of its lifetime. Mm-hmm. Got comments on our site itself, too.
Woo!
Danger Shoes again. Mm-hmm. Basically said the same things before. He enjoyed it. He said there's several things that did bug him, though. Last season ended with him having to lay low. This one opens up going to Skaro because the person was sending a message. And only after Betty like goes, wait, this is a trap?
Yep.
Number two, apparently in 2012, the Daleks have a parliament, a prison, and an asylum. They seem pretty powerful and organized. And I think it's reference to the fact that last we saw them, they really just sort of restarted from five Daleks.
Yeah.
But I always give excuses for that case because that was World War II. Mm-hmm. There's a weird time thing happening with the Daleks in general.
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
After the opening, Amy asks the Doctor, what do they do, being in the middle of the Parliament and all, and Doctor says, make them remember you. Basically means that is the power he has over them. Since they don't know him now, they won't pause in fear to let him ramble on while thinking of a plan.
True.
And I think, well, we mentioned that kind of last time as well, which is like, oh, this could open up some interesting possibilities, mm-hmm. the Daleks not knowing their greatest enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly they're like, hey, there's no one restricting us anymore. And then, of course, the big one I think a lot of people brought up is like, if Daleks have had this micro-nanotech, mm-hmm. they could easily conquer Earth and the universe. So what stops them in a certain sense?
Yeah.
And we also have a comment from Mig.
Mm-hmm.
And mentioning how she watched The Pawn Life after watching the episode.
Wait, is he or she?
They.
Okay.
And they like it less as a result. Basically, the doc... they address Dr. Shu's point that the Doctor's supposed to be lying low, and that's also another reason why the Pond Life episode seemed completely out of sync.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's big things. Like, isn't he supposed to be kind of quiet and hidden? And there were hints of this in the current episode. They point out that Pond Life, doesn't indicate anything about the relationship deteriorating. It's except for that very last shot. Like, oh, your relationship's in trouble. But mm-hmm. for most of the episodes, they look like, oh, look at this kooky couple living together with no real issues. They're adorable.
Mm-hmm.
They do say one interesting thing, which is as soon as Oswin was on screen, I felt like a part of Doctor Who I had loved but forgotten about had returned. The clever, driven companion.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Then goes on to say that they completely agree with your point.
You should always mention that part.
Yeah, totally agree with the points Liz made about the other companions as compared to Amy. Really can't wait to see Oswin return and cross my fingers that her appearance in the episode isn't solved with a quick, convenient paradox.
Oh, man.
I'm going to point out something. I don't know any time where paradoxes are convenient.
They are for writing purposes.
True. Wibbly wobbly.
Wibbly wobbly.
Timey wimey.
And yes, over on the Facebooks, seriously, comments across the spectrum today. It was really lovely. Jeff Waddell comments, good on first view, but doesn't hold up to scrutiny. Underuse of different Daleks, especially special weapons. Good mm-hmm. twist, though. Which, I think that's a nice, I think that's a good summary of the episode on a whole. Like, it is enjoyable to watch. Don't poke at it too hard. And just look forward to when Oswin comes back. In whatever form she might come back. So does that mean I think we're ready to move on to the new episode.
Yeah, after that massive commentorama. Yeah.
Commentorama. Let's do it.
So, how should we do spoilers?
I can make a dinosaur roar.
Do a... Wait, no, that's reserved to our special show.
Terra Nova is never coming back. We have to move on, Rudy.
God damn it. You know, I love that show in hindsight because of how bad it was good.
Yes. But I'm going to go. Look, come on for old time's sake.
Okay. You have special dispensation to use the Terra Nova roar for spoilers in this episode. Spoilers. That was spoilers in Pterodactyl.
Yes. I'm glad you recognized that.
Oh, I've been practicing my pterodactyl.
It's Rosetta Stone.
It's true.
So, there is a spaceship and there are some dinosaurs on it.
Yes.
And the doctor saved it at the end.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I mean, we can go into a bit more detail that
Nefertiti and a big game hunter were there.
Yeah. That the doctor, Nefertiti and the doctor are told by the Indian Space Agency that there's a giant spaceship coming to Earth, and they give him 6 hours.
In the 24th century.
Yes, and that they give him something like 6 hours before they shoot it down, and he picks up a big game hunter, and he also picks up
Amy and Rory,
and their dad.
And Rory's dad.
Rory's dad, by accident.
Yes.
They get on the spaceship. There are dinosaurs. Turns out that they get separated at one point, where the doctor, Rory, and his dad go meet the man who crashed into the spaceship. While Amy, Nefertiti, and the big game hunter discover that it's a Cerulean ark.
Yes.
That's returning home. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the man who crashed into it is some sort of pirate who basically signs a value to everything in the world and sells it. Mm-hmm. And in this case, when seeing an ark, which is dinosaurs full of spaceships, dinosaurs being seen as particularly valuable. Mm-hmm. Flushed out all the Ceruleans on this ark, mm-hmm. and unfortunately couldn't control the ship, and that's why it's heading back to Earth. So the doctor fixes everything so that the ship manages to get diverted. The Nefertiti, the man is punished for his crimes.
Right.
And we'll talk about that, I feel.
Yep.
What happened there. Mm-hmm. You know, Rory's dad, who's always been kind of a homebody type, decides to
go traveling
after the excitement. Uh-huh. And the doctor promises that he'll never stop visiting Amy and Rory.
Yes.
And Nefertiti and Big Game Hunter get it on.
Yes, they go live in a tent in the veldt.
Yes.
I like the word veldt.
And the doctor is promised to come back in the west.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yay!
You can keep iterating the depths of the show, and here's my big thing. Let's go with pros, cons, speculation.
Yeah.
You want to begin, or should I begin with pros?
Go.
Pros is that it's filled with great moments.
Yeah.
It's filled with so many great moments this episode.
It was really fun. It was really fun to watch. It was a thoroughly enjoyable episode. It was everything, you know, the characters popped really well. There were some really clever moments. There were goddamn dinosaurs on a spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
I liked this episode so much more than I was expecting.
Yeah.
So much more. And it wasn't even like just a completely shallow thing. Like, I enjoyed like things like Rory and his dad connecting better. And like, the dad had a nice arc.
Right.
And, you know, leaving aside paradox issues, like, I'm glad that Nefertiti got to go hunting go hunting for big game with Rupert Graves. And, you know,
I'm like seeing all the slap fiction that's going to generate for a while.
Yeah. Hey, that's canon now, man. You know, speaking of slash though, Doctor kissing Rory on the mouth was a thing.
Oh yeah. Bleeding Cool had a great, great thing where he's like, There was like top 10, like not like 10 things about the episode. Mm-hmm. And like number 8 was it, the header was squee.
And
just like a Tumblr like photo like thing where just of the kiss.
An anime gif.
And then he goes, Tumblr, it goes, take it away, Tumblr. And that's all it said. And I was like, yep, that's.
Yep. That's called making the show for Tumblr.
Exactly.
And yeah, it was just adorable. It was fun. And, you know, I was also really impressed by the fact that Doctor Who did what Terra Nova could not and got some, like, actual animatronic dinosaurs to work with.
Yeah.
Like, the dinosaurs looked great. Like, granted, my standards have been so crippled by Terra Nova, but still, the dinosaurs looked great.
They did, and there was a variety of dinosaurs. I loved how they used the T-Rex in it. And the everyone's waiting for the T-Rex scene when you say dinosaurs. Yeah. And the way they did it with the baby T-Rex was so well done.
Yeah.
I thought I thought all that stuff was great.
Yeah.
One thing I also want to highlight again, Matt Smith is clearly the best thing in this episode. Like, all his one-liners delivered in the best way. I mean, the part where, I think my favorite thing that entire episode, the favorite moment, scene, is when they're on that beach, that's the engine room.
Yeah.
For the first time. And, like, you know, Rory's dad, of course, freaking out. And he's like, where are we? And, you know, all he does is stick out his tongue, taste the air, and goes, not Earth. And there's also a great thing where it's like, are those Kestrels? And he just laughs and goes, I sure hope so. I mean, like, I love those moments of the Doctor who's very aware of, like, this is the kind of thing that happens to me.
Yeah.
You know, as like, he's not constantly surprised about the life he leads. And I think that's awesome. That's, like, that he kind of knows, like, okay, this is the point where we run. This is the point where we do this. Mm-hmm. And there's this almost, like, a joy of being the Doctor. And that's, I think, what's good for this episode is that if you just watch it, and enjoy it, you will enjoy it. Like, mm-hmm. just, like, turn off your brain.
I will say, I want to point out also that Amy had some really good lines in there as well. Not just great lines, but also really well-delivered lines.
Like, yeah.
I think Karen G.
Yeah, I thought, again, it's one of the episodes where, so far this season, acting has been wonderful. Mm-hmm. The characters have been fun.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Big Game Hunter had moments. And I think another favorite moment of mine is when him and Nefertiti start flirting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Amy's like, no. No flirting.
Well, it just became, like, at that moment, it was just kind of like, oh, she's just the Doctor now.
Oh, yeah, totally. And there's been mention of that. She is acting like the Doctor now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I think we're kind of, I think that all the pros of this episode are really obvious. Let's go on to net minuses.
Minuses.
I mean, honestly, I think something we didn't mention is that the Dr. Rory and his dad go on this wonderful ride on the back of a Triceratops, and everything's really wonderful and delightful. And then the Triceratops is shot to death by the bad guy. And then in that moment, I'm like, fucking kill him, man. I don't care. Like,
well, are you saying this is a con or a pro?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, I think this is something to be discussed.
Right.
I know that I had no problem whatsoever with the Doctor's being like, yeah, he kind of made his own bed, and maybe now he's going to burn to death.
Well, I know some people have already started discussing what happened at the end of this episode, where the Doctor pretty blatantly puts the guy in a death trap.
Yeah, and I don't care, because the guy killed the Triceratops, and I was really sad, and I was just very childlike, like, yeah, I don't care whether or not he lives or dies.
No, I think that, I mean, also the guy committed genocide. There is no... There are certain things I think people, like I go, like, regarding, like, death penalty and evil and stuff, and, like, where do you go back? And genocide is usually a big hallmark, but what's been pointed out is, like, but he'll save the Daleks? It's one of those weird...
Well, I mean, I think, well, core to the Doctor has always been that, like, he will give you a chance, but then if you don't take it, then you're on your own, buddy. And I think, you know, it's, like, right down to, like, I think there's no better encapsulation of this in the episode where, you know, than the, you know, the Christmas invasion, where the Doctor has a Satsuma in his pocket, and the idea is, you know, he's like, you can go now, I've beaten you. And then the guy charges him again, and he just freaking knocks him off the spaceship into his death. Like, there is no more direct Doctor killing somebody than that, and, you know... That's been part of the show since, you know, at least the beginning of the Tennant era, if not earlier.
Yeah, no, earlier there's also been situations where the Doctor will, like, there's been moments where the Doctor is, like, very scared and frightened and will kill people.
Mm-hmm.
I say, like, they could have done a bit more with clear, like, this guy's not your comp. Like, the problem, I think, is that the guy committed genocide and didn't emphasize how evil this guy truly was, apart from genocide and shoot a dinosaur. You know, it was...
I missed it. I don't even know if I caught the genocide part.
He flushed an entire colony of Ceruleans out of the airlock.
Okay. That is bad.
What, you don't think Ceruleans are people, Liz?
Well, I don't think it's genocide, because I think there are a bunch of them living inside the middle of the Earth. I learned that in the hardest way possible. I learned that through a two-parter that I still am mad at.
Yeah, I have to give one good thing that they've done so far this season is kept a lot of stuff secret. They've kept a lot of things. The fact that this was a Cerulean arc did not leak out, at least to, like, my general, like, following Doctor Who's news.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly surprised. I also went, oh god, Liz is not going to like this, like, when I saw it.
I know, actually, one of the compliments I will pay for this episode is that I didn't hate the Silurians. Given that my default mode is to always hate the Silurians, this is an impressive thing.
It's true.
I don't hate the Silurians when they live in Victorian England and they're lesbians. I'll mention that. I just hate the Silurians from that two-parter.
You just hate the Silurians when they're actually being Silurians.
I just hate it every so much. I'm so mad at that two-parter.
Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
Okay. Okay.
We actually will never talk about that episode again.
No, we probably will.
Well, we have to. It's our jobs. But
it was two episodes, Rudy. God damn it. It was two episodes.
I mean, so I didn't see this as a con so much. It was just a bit off-putting. Mm-hmm. What I found the biggest con is after the episode is done, you're like, oh, that didn't really matter at all, did it? And there's a whole bunch of you know, I think Moffat said this, that this season is going to be just like big ideas thrown against the wall.
Yeah.
And like stuff like, it's got all the same problems so far. How does the Indian Space Agency know how to contact the Doctor?
Were they explicitly called the Indian Space Agency?
ISA.
Ah.
Yeah. And then if you down the wall, it said Indian Space Agency.
Sure.
They
seem nice.
Oh, I think that's fine. I have no issues with it. Like, I think I was like, oh, that's a great idea that they're pursuing the space program right now.
Right.
Why not have an Indian Space Agency that turns out to be the strongest force out there?
Mm-hmm.
My issue was, why are they contacting a doctor? How do they know him? Isn't he supposed to be in hiding? Exactly is...
Yeah, it's all the same problems we've been having.
Right.
Last night, my brother was over, like, helping me get through some Mass Effect 3 stuff. And thank you, Eric, for fixing my incinerate powers. Now I can incinerate people much faster than before. But he stayed to watch the episode, and he enjoyed it. He had a great time watching it, but he hasn't been keeping up. Like, he didn't know what was going on before or after, and it had no effect on his enjoyment of the episode. And I think that's what they're going for.
Right.
They're going for, you know, casual viewing. But at the same time, we're not engaged.
Yeah. It's popcorn.
It was good popcorn.
Right. There was a lot of and this is the thing, is if you sit and think about it, there's like, oh, apart from those problems of,
mm-hmm.
like, what? Well, how do they know about him? There's like these inconsistencies, like they know about him. Then there's a great moment where the Doctor is hunted by that giant computer program.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, no data. And the Doctor smiles knowingly. And you're like, but why is he smiling knowingly?
Yeah. I think what it really comes down to is why have this narrative about, like, you know, the Doctor being, you know, like the Doctor being dead? Why bother? They didn't need it. They didn't need to pretend that the Doctor, the show doesn't need this whole narrative arc of, like, the Doctor is going to keeping low because, A, it's bad for the show because clearly the show doesn't work if he does keep to that.
Right.
And B, it's just complicated and silly.
Right.
And we don't understand it, and I don't like it.
Well, the thing is weird is that the Doctor is dead. There's a distinction between the Doctor being dead and this thing, the machine saying, oh, I have no record of him.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. And is this part of the, like, small, is it the bad wolf of this season?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there's been precedent for, like, something not recognizing the Doctor before. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, it doesn't make it any more sensical.
No, it's, there's that. There was also, like, this is what also bugged me, is when, and it bugged me in, like, writing in general, someone introduces something,
mm-hmm.
and just to have a complication, like, with no hints leading up to it. For example... You need to have the same gene line to pilot a ship.
And yeah, I didn't.
Oh, how convenient. Yeah, and this is why this guy couldn't do it, but we can because we have two people related to each other on this episode.
Yeah.
And then how lucky the Doctor was to accidentally pick up, you know, there's all that kind of stuff. The fact that they, and again, like, why did he pick up Rory and Amy? There was
no reason.
No reason.
I mean, it was nice that he brought them along. I think there might have been some line about how he needs regular companions. Or he's like, you know, he mentions like, oh, I want to have a gang.
Yeah, and then someone's pointed out that he's had gangs before. He's had like four or five companions going with him.
Mm-hmm.
The other big inconsistency for me, well, I mean, it's the same problem again, where it's just like, we're supposed to infer that Rory and his dad have problems with his nursing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I love that scene where he's like, you have a trowel and you're like, you have a spade? Like, it was that great moment where, of course.
Well, I think they set up at the beginning, like, you know, Amy, you know, while Brian's being very nice to Amy, like, Rory's clearly, like, he clearly doesn't think much of Rory's manliness, and then at the end it's like, oh, Rory's plenty manly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Which I think the girls of the internet will completely agree with.
I mean, I like Rory, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I don't think of him as a stud. Of course, I'm clearly not in the minority on that one. I have a major complaint. I have a huge complaint.
Please give me your major complaint.
This is unacceptable. Truly unacceptable. Rupert Graves, who otherwise gives a wonderful performance, surrounded by a bunch of small dinosaurs, and he does not fucking say, clever girl.
Yes.
What the hell is going on here?
I thought they were going to do that. There's that moment where he goes out to defend all of them, mm-hmm. and then there's one raptor on one side, and then you...
Why? Yeah. How hard is it to say clever girl?
That, or have it say it, like, especially given all the he's putting down the women around him and stuff like that.
Yes.
For him to say it for after Amy does something really cool, or Nefertiti does something really cool.
The important thing is just say clever girl. You clearly need to say clever girl in this episode, and you didn't say clever girl. I'm so mad. So mad.
And so that's the thing. It's a lot of nitpicky thing that, as a long form... Here's the thing. If we're putting this in the context of, hey, we expect that this season there's a sort of theme or something going on, then we have a right to be complaining about stuff. But on the whole, it's like it's a fun Doctor Who adventure.
Yeah.
That you know, just don't think about it. It's popcorn. You know, have fun.
I think this one probably holds up to more scrutiny than last week's episode.
Oh, you think so?
I think so. I think, like, on a plotting level, like, aside from, like, the nitpicky stuff we've already mentioned, like, I think I would enjoy... I was actually, you know, trying to rewatch a bit of it because I wanted to rewatch a scene I think we're going to discuss in speculation.
In speculation.
I was rewatching bits of it this morning, and I was like, huh, that was fun. That part was fun, too. I like the bit with the Triceratops playing fetch. That was fun. Like, in general, it was a fun episode. Yeah,
the Triceratops bits were actually adorable.
I like Triceratops.
That it's... You know, like, those are the touches I actually enjoy greatly. It's like the plant matter, and when the Triceratops bites it, you're like, no.
Yeah, I was really sad, and then I wanted him to die, and then he died, and I was happy. Because I'm terrible.
Not the Triceratops, the bad guy.
The bad guy, yeah. When the bad guy died, I was happy.
Isn't he, like, the intendant from Harry Potter?
Yes, he is Filch.
Right, and Rory's dad, I think we mentioned this before, is actually...
Mr. Weasley. Yeah. And then Rupert Graves is Sherlock Holmes's erstwhile Lestrade.
Yes. Yeah, I actually wanted to see more of him. I thought that they were underserved.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it wasn't like on the level of putting Arabella Weir and Bill Bailey in spacesuits for 2 minutes in the Christmas special. That was probably the biggest example of underserved actors in the history of Doctor Who. But, you know, there could have been more. Maybe he'll come back. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? Don't walk into these things to me, Rudy.
Well, let's use that as a segue for speculation.
Speculation. I think, like, the big scene that, you know, we're all kind of poking at is the scene where Amy admits that she keeps leaving her jobs because she keeps waiting for the Doctor to show up.
Yeah, and this is, okay, two ways of speculation here. Uh-huh. Two things that I came my way from that scene. Because that scene felt really oddly placed in the middle of all this action. Even Amy remarks on it, like, you know, you're asking about my job in the middle of all this. Mm-hmm. And the Doctor, you know, says, oh, I'm best when I multitask. Tell me about it. Okay, so one speculation that had me going is, like, when is this taking place? Because the timing of it is weird. I mean, we saw... Like, we know in the last episode she was a model. Mm-hmm. The episode...
How do you walk away from... Like, there's not such a thing as being a permanent model, by the way. It's not like you're on retainer or you have to show up in an office for modeling 9 to 5.
Right. But and here's the other weird thing about the modeling bit. And it's also unclear, like, is she model or is she running her own fashion line? Like, it's never clear what she was doing. It's very vague of what her job, I put in quotes, is, you know, mm-hmm. are. And... So there's that sense of speculation, like, and this we've already mentioned this. When are we seeing these things? What Rory and Amy? When's he coming into their lives? Mm-hmm. And there's really no mention about the troubles they've had in their relationship. Not even like the remark by Brian is like, you know, Lord knows, you know, why she convinced her to marry you is different than saying Lord knows. Like, I would say, like, well, how you managed to get her to take you back, you know, mm-hmm. like that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that would seem more appropriate. I don't know. there's this real sense of, like, when is this taking place? And she even mentions the fact that he seems to be taking longer and longer between his visits.
I mean, I would love it if there was, like, if that was part of the big denouement, was, like, oh, here's a timeline of when I've actually been visiting you. But, you know, they, in order for it to work, it would have to be really clearly spelled out, and whether or not that actually happens is... whether or not they devote 5 minutes of screen time to a montage explaining when everything has happened in the last 2 years has happened.
Yeah.
That's a very up in the air at prospect.
Very up in the air. And the other form of speculation, which I think is more solid, is given his glances towards Amy and Rory and his constant concern about them, both in Pond Life and, like, they were, like, apart from that scene, there's also that moment where when Rory's dad, Brian, is, like, has that kind of, like, little snack for, like, nice little lunch picnic while overlooking the Earth, what he's always wanted to do, when he had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everyone's gathering happy around it, but you clearly see the Doctor looking really worldly at Amy's direction.
Mm.
Well,
it's, you know, you'll be the death of me. You'll be there till the end of me, or vice versa.
Yeah, the vice versa made the Doctor look up like, what, you know? Oh, that's significant. Which makes me go, like, this is the Doc. I feel like the Doctor, unlike last season where it was where clearly it was Amy and Rory know something about the Doctor they're not sharing with him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel this one's more the Doctor knows something about Amy and Rory that he's not sharing with
them. And I think like that could be part of, like, in that episode of Pond Life where he comes sparging in as, like, you know, terrified about something happening to the Earth. It's like, oh no, oh, it's April, okay, everything's fine.
Yeah.
But that's, again, up in the air. Yeah, I mean, I know we're being set up clearly for some sort of heartbreak.
Right.
I don't know what it's going to be.
I just, this is maybe con. I also feel like there's this weirdly missed, like, if that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've been complaining about, oh, your through lines, Doctor, or kind of, Moffat, are kind of, like, puzzle boxy, not really emotional. Mm-hmm. Here was an opportunity where these 5 seasons could have been built about fixing a relationship. The Doctor trying to intervene and fix something, which is really not what he's usually there to fix.
Right.
You know, he's usually fixing, like, on a technical, action-packed level.
But they did it all in one episode.
Yeah! And then in this episode, it's like, how you doing? Things are good? Significant look, and you're like, that's the only character development we have in this relationship. And then there's some great stuff with Rory and his dad.
Mm-hmm.
But that falls back to my other complaint, like, but we were never set up for that. There was never a scene where his dad makes fun of his son for being a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
They do have this thing like his dad makes fun of his son for not being manly enough or doing,
yeah,
but other than that,
yeah,
you know, it's so, but I think there's clearly something there. Mm-hmm. What's there? Maybe it should be kudos to them. Like, I have no clue what's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll find out.
Hopefully.
I mean, any other speculation that can come out of this?
Not really. Well, maybe there'll be more dinosaurs on spaceships at some point. I hope so.
Oh.
I did enjoy that. I have been hard on Chris Chibnall in the last couple of weeks. But
I know. You were like, waiting for this episode and going, like, well, waiting in the sense of anticipating...
I was intentionally making fun of Chris Chibnall again, and said, I have to say, I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I'm going to give, like, kudos, like props to writing a fun Doctor.
Yeah.
Who can actually go dark at critical moments. Like, yeah. That. Like, I felt this is the Doctor I love. This is the Matt Smith Doctor I love, where he's manic and crazy.
Right.
And then brings to bear his darkness.
He's very good at being very hyper and also very still.
Yes.
And I think those are the two really hard things to pull off as a Doctor. Tennant is my still probably favorite Doctor, but I don't think he pulled off the still moments as well as Matt Smith does.
Oh, I will disagree there. I think that they are different characters. That's always the thing, the truth about that. There's a fundamental truth to it. His stillness was different.
Mm-hmm.
His stillness was...
He was never still. He just clenched.
Yeah, and he hurt.
Yeah.
The Matt Smith Doctor has more of an age thing going with him.
Right.
But he doesn't seem to hurt anymore because he's like, I've been experienced this.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, again, the key words for David Tennant's Doctor was run.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah, true.
You know? Eccleston's Doctor was just so full of a man really trying to get back on the horse kind of thing, and and so on. And then you have Matt Smith's Doctor, who seems more like the loungy, let's do this, this is hilarious and fun. But then when he needs to bring to bear, like, my wealth of experience and seriousness to the situation.
Right. So let's move on to the Flash comments we've gotten so far in regards to this week's episode. Nothing like a good old-fashioned Doctor Who murder to cap off a lovely episode, says the now male, the always male, sorry, that we now know he's male, Charlie Flowers. Pardon me for the little burp I just did. but Charlie Flowers says nothing, you know, said that thing that I liked just now that I said. And we also got a comment from Jeff Danger Shoes. Was a fun episode with interesting yet troubling facial expression by the Doctor at certain pod dialogue moments.
Exactly.
Which is a good sum up. Glace, or Glace, one of the two, comments, my thoughts, dinosaurs, good. Harry Potter alums, good. Rupert Graves, oh my, OMG, WTF, best ever, !! !! Ahem. Hashtag dignity. That is to say, enjoyed it, didn't love it. Guest stars are the best bit. Wondering where we're heading from here, re-pawns.
I think that's the same big question we're all having. And yeah. The same feelings we feel about Rupert Graves being on it.
Yes,
Rupert Graves. I kind of want to see the character back again because I feel like you didn't do enough of that character. I feel like Nefertiti, and maybe rightly so, got more of the attention in the episode.
Yeah.
But it would be fun to see Graves.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of want to see, like, how do these two characters meet?
I want to see that, I could do with a lot more of Rupert Graves.
Actually, there was when you first meet him, I remember he's just eating, and he's like, oh, there you are, you said, like, you're off to get some water, and it's been 7 months, you know, like, but he's totally, like, they have, like, this fun, I kind of want to watch a buddy comedy with Rupert Graves and Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Having adventures.
That'd be fun.
It would be fun.
Yeah, shoot. And next week's episode has Ben Browder in it.
Oh, you know what? This season seems meant for the ladies.
Oh, yeah. Ladies like them some Ben Browder.
Oh, yeah. Ben Browder. We got Rupert Graves this episode. Last episode had... who was it? Oh, there was remarking more how Rory... got a bit of a bad boy.
Yeah, but last week we had... Oswin was definitely for the ladies. For the gentlemen, I'm sorry.
For the gentlemen. It's true.
Yes.
What's called the Magic Pixie Girl? That's
and it, yeah, she had a little bit of that to her.
She had a lot of that to her.
Yeah. You know, but in a charming way. Not
that's the whole point of the Magic Pixie Girl.
No, usually that's more grating than charming.
Depends if you're a guy or not.
Yes. And then Den Palmer commented on Facebook, I love them dinosaurs, I love that spaceship, and I roved Rory's dad in the comic book field. The episode I feel was good. But maybe the Doctor's game was too much for just a 45-minute episode, as we learned nothing about any of them. Maybe it could have been a two-parter.
It could have been. And you know, here's something, a theory I want to toss out for you.
Okay.
Because given these episodes where nothing seems to be happening.
Right.
There was a while where there was some speculation if we were going to have another, like, what's called? A Tennant Series 5.
Mm.
You know, like, where it's a bunch of specials. These could have been specials. So far, the two we've seen, they could definitely have been standalone specials.
They could have been, I think that's the idea for what they want the feel of the season to be. But yeah, it's definitely very intense in terms of, just concept and scale and scope, like, everything could easily be its own standalone thing.
Right.
I think that's honestly the best compliment you can pay an episode of Doctor Who is it could have been a two-parter. Like, some, you know...
Oh.
Like...
I don't know about that part of it. I mean, if they could explore characters a bit more, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think this thing was... My sense is that they could just swap in any character.
Mm.
Like, you know what this episode felt like to me, strangely enough?
What?
Was the Planet of the Dead with the bus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a bunch of people. And then the Doctor seems to be the only one who knows what's going on, but not really, and he's investigating it. Had the same kind of vibe with the exception of there's a real clock happening and yeah. That's what I came, like, what I was, like, scratching my head over a lot.
Sure. But yeah, final thought is I feel like that's everything we've got from the internet.
There's one more thing on the internet.
Yeah, we now need... Well, normally, this is the part where we would turn to the Stephen Moffat tweet of the week.
Yes.
But we can't.
Because breaking news.
As of this morning.
Yeah, of this morning. As of, like, literally minutes before we started recording the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Twitter to look up Stephen Moffat and for look up Stephen Moffat's tweet of the week. And then none of Stephen Moffat's tweets showed up. I was like, but wait, did Stephen Moffat block us?
Yes. We could hope. We were dreaming. Oh my God, we managed to irritate Stephen Moffat enough that he blocked us.
Yes. Alas, we were not correct about that.
No, there seems to be Moffat has definitely shut down his Twitter account. Which is sad. And there's two vying stories going back and forth for it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people seem to claim it's something to do that he was getting... There's a lot of back and forth and anger directed towards him by people regarding how he writes women or other aspects. And I've been seeing some messages about hate mail and threats to his family kind Jeez. Of things. Which ultimately... is like one very good reason why you might want to turn off your Twitter account.
Yeah.
And you know, then now there's a counter backlash of people saying, how dare you people drive Stephen Moffat from Twitter? However, his wife, whose Twitter account still exists, put out a message saying, oh, nothing of the sort. He's having some family time, and it's because Twitter was proving to be too much of a distraction.
That's why you stop tweeting. That's not why you delete your entire account.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, if it feels more permanent that way. I don't know. Like, I mean, you're a Twitter account man. Do what you want. I will miss your tweets, because yes. I did enjoy them. I will also miss...
Well, you just ruined a whole faction of our show for us.
Yeah, we had a regular feature going and everything, Stephen Moffat. But, hang out with your family. Continue to write your television shows.
Yeah.
We will continue to watch them.
Yeah, it's disappointing, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, on the one hand, it's like, oh, if people criticize you, if the criticism is the real reason, there is a fine line between criticism and hate.
Yeah.
And hate and threats.
Yeah, I see, yeah. If that is, in fact, what was going on, then, you know.
We will never know.
We will never know, because he won't be on Twitter to tell us. But we are on Twitter.
Yes, we are.
Wait.
Don't go ahead to the ending segment of the show
yet. Okay, well, what else you got?
We got the bet. We haven't established the bet yet.
I feel like this isn't something we can decide. Okay, but we'll create a poll where we'll ask, general listener, help us figure it out. What should I have to do if I'm wrong about, Oswin not being...
What's the condition?
Okay. The condition, okay, if I am correct...
Which is, what's your statement then?
My statement is that we are looking at a Freema situation where Oswin is not the same character that Jenna Louise Coleman will be playing in the Christmas special and forward.
Okay.
So there may be some tie, like she might be a cousin or something, but it's not, there's no timey-wimey picking her up off the spaceship beforehand thing.
For me, this is going to be a hard thing, distinction thing. It's like, a Freeman situation is different. She was playing two different characters.
Okay, here's how I'll clarify it. I believe that the new character that will be played by Jenna Louise Coleman in the Christmas special will be very much it will not be like a deliberate tying. Like, it'll be, if there is a connection between the two characters, it'll be hand-waved away. Similarly to how the character that Freema Edgeman played in, God, guys, we're such nerds. So the character that Freema Edgeman played in the season 2-parter in Doctor Who was explained as a cousin very offhandedly with the introduction.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, she's the character. It's basically in the two. They cast her in the 2-parter. They liked her quite a bit. So when they were looking for new companions for season 3, they brought her in, auditioned her, cast her. And then in her first episode, they explain the fact that she looks exactly like this other character by saying she's a cousin.
Okay.
Okay,
now that's a fair bet. I completely think it's a stronger tie and will form a major part of the character story arc in the last while.
Okay, so that just so we're all clear.
Yeah.
If I'm right... Because I'm going to be right. It's going to be very much explained away, let's just get on with business type deal. Where you think it's going to be a cleverly written, constructed plot development.
I think so.
Okay. Well, we're going to leave the terms of said bet up to you guys. please be kind.
Yeah, let's give people 2 weeks to settle on what they want us to do.
Yeah. Just as a reminder, last time the loser of said bet had to write fan fiction.
Slash fiction, let's be specific. Fan yes. fiction's one thing. Slash fiction's the other.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's a subset.
Yeah.
But, so we could, it could be that, it could be, you know, you could make me watch Silurian two-parter, that'd be really mean of you.
Well, it's not just you. You have to come up with something that both of us...
would make us equally sad.
Yes.
Okay.
I think something with costumes.
Yes. Yeah. That could be it. Like, you know, one of us has to dress in Dr. Drag.
Dr. Drag.
Dr. Drag.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I bet I look good in a bow tie.
Yeah, I'm trying to think that this is another kind of case where the punishment would be more severe on my end than yours.
We'll find out, though.
So... To give us your choice of punishment for the loser of said bet.
Yes.
How can they contact us, Liz?
They can find us on Twitter at TimeyWimeyTV. They can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TimeyWimeyTV. They can find us on Google+ by searching for TimeyWimeyTV or following the link that I'll put in the blog post. Or they can email us at feedback@TimeyWimeyTV or visit us on the internet at TimeyWimey.tv.
And, of course, subscribe to us on your favorite RSS reader. Our iTunes woes continue to occur.
Yes.
With no feedback. If someone out there knows how to contact Apple and iTunes and fix our feed in the iTunes store, please help us out.
Please, that'd be really swell.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be really great, you guys.
And in the meantime,
yeah.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week, everybody.
On as the Doctor goes to the Old West.
Ye Olde West with Ben Browder.
Hooray!
That's
actually what the episode's called. The Doctor goes to Ye Olde West with Bryn Browder.
It'll barely fit on the screen.
Dinosaurs in a spaceship.
That did. All right.
Have a good one, everyone.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.